allow me to call to order a public hearing concerning the 2009 New York State Community Renewal Development Block Grant Program. Is there anyone here who wish to speak to that issue? State your name and title for the record.
Hello, everybody. My name is Jeannie Sess. I'm with the County Planning Department. And tonight we're doing our first of two public hearings for the CDBG funds. These are funds that we've acquired over multiple years now. CDBG program, for those who don't know, is a federally funded program. And here in New York State, it's administered by the Office for Community Renewal, which used to be the Office for Small Cities. Under the CDBG program, there's about $50 million that's authorized out to different communities across the state. And we have the opportunity to apply for up to $750,000 of funding here for Tompkins County. It can be used for housing, public infrastructure, and public facilities projects. So tonight we're here to discuss general housing, public facilities, and economic development concerns for the county. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Anyone else who wish to address the legislature on that topic? Seeing no one, I will close the public hearing. And before we stand to pledge allegiance to the flag, I will just make a note that most of this year I have bought bagels and tried to give sustenance to the people to sit through a long meeting. I did not buy bagels tonight. This means it will be a short meeting. To stand and join me in the pledge of the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a roll call of members.
Yes. Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Ms. McAsey?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall has asked to be excused. Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler has also asked to be excused. Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank?
I'm here.
Ms. Cha?
Here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Mr. Kaplink-Alaire?
Present.
13 members present.
Petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
We have no special orders today. Before I call on the public for privilege of the floor, I just want to acknowledge that this is Joe Mariana's first day with us, first legislative session, and welcome.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to hearing from you your first report in a few minutes. Is there anyone here to speak to the legislature from privilege of the floor on the public? Peter, you'll be up in a minute under municipal official report. No one is here from the public. We will start the county legislator privilege of the floor with actually a moment of silence for Sam McNeil. Sam was a legislator in this body from 1970 to 78. He was chair of the legislature from 76 through 78. And he was our assemblyman in New York State from 79 through 88. So just join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. Privilege of the floor for county legislators. Frank Proto.
Thank you, Mike. I'd just like to add my thoughts about Sam with regard to this board. He served during the years that Mike mentioned and established many of the committees that we have today, the standing committees. He was very active as a legislator. And some of you will be surprised to know that I did not serve with him, even though some of you think that I've been here longer than perhaps I should. Nice guy, and some of the folks around town will remember him as the basketball coach at Cornell. He's very, very good. When I was a student 100 years ago, though, in a couple of those years, we had players like Hank South, who went national, but we also had the privilege of seeing Bill Bradley play here. It was one of the times when they used to play in Barton Hall in those days, not in the Newman Arena now. And it was SRO. We were all jammed right to the edge of the court, if you can believe that, and some of the players were falling into us. But Sam was a pretty neat guy. The woman who was his right hand, Roxanne Buck, is chairman of our TC3 board at this point in time. Very nice lady, and she's also with the personnel department at the hospital. So Georgia, his wife, is still functioning. She's not doing too well, I'm afraid, but has to have a lot of things read to her. But some of us do remember all those meetings that we used to have. And Nathan, you'll appreciate this. When I came on the board, the budget committee used to meet on Sundays.
Wow.
So it was always, but that preceded, that was something that was a holdover. Yeah. But thank you. I just wanted to make sure that the family knew how much we appreciated the service. I know that there are county employees who were employees at the time that Sam was chairman of this board.
Thank you, Frank. I knew Sam's son. I ran cross country in high school with his son, Tim McNeil, and I can certainly say that through his coaching at Cornell, but he also really coached many people in different ways throughout his life. I would call him a mentor to many, and he'll be deeply missed. Jim Dennis?
Thank you. I want to talk a little bit about Sam. I helped Sam leave the county legislature in an odd sort of way. I ran for the state assembly against him in 1978, and of course he won. And we were representing then, or would have represented, Tompkins, Seneca, and Yates County. There were a large number of Democrats in Tompkins County, a few more Republicans. There were 8 Democrats in Seneca County and 3 in Yates County. So you know how the election ended. But what I was, I had served on city council 4 years, and I actually knew Sam because my brother knew him at Cornell and through basketball and different things. And my hair was longer, and it was about the color of Kathy's, and you know, had a decent haircut. And Sam used to, when we would go campaigning, we went together, and he would put his arm around me and say, "He's a fine young man." And he would emphasize young. And he said, "But I think experience is this, it's all about experience in this election." And unfortunately, I lost for me, but fortunately for the district, I think Sam won, and then later on, the Democrat finally won. But it was an interesting thing because he was the chair of the legislature, and I was a city council person, and I really thought that I could win, but I didn't. But he became a friend after, and a very interesting man. We talk sports a lot and other things. So I'm sure his family misses him, and he certainly served wonderfully in Tompkins County for all the years he was here.
Thank you. And Frank had one more comment, and then we'll go on to
Jim,
others.
You just reminded me of one other item. We had another legislator who ran against Sam for the assembly seat and now heads OAR. Debbie Dietrich ran against him for that.
Well, we all took a turn.
Everybody took a turn. He was always a gentleman. I mean, if you can treat Jim Dennis the way that Sam, I won't go any further.
Are there any other legislators who'd like to speak under privilege of the floor? Leslie?
I have some other items.
Okay, I'll come back to you.
Frank can finish, please.
All right, Frank, and then we'll...
I just want to remind you that the Veterans Day Parade is Sunday. If you can make it, fine. And then the ceremony will be at 11 o'clock on Tuesday, the formal Veterans Day. And those of you that helped, we promised that we weren't going to get political tonight, and I'm not being political. I just want to thank you for helping pass the constitutional amendment piece that was at the top of that ballot. Believe me, that's going to go a long way. And if there's a wafting of pancakes in this room, I saw several of you eating pancakes yesterday, and some of us had to work, but Dooley had four helpings, and she took some home, as I understand it also, and Martha had Jim Dennis by the elbow, and they took up too much space. But nonetheless, thank you for coming. We did fine, by the way. And if others were there, I apologize. I just didn't see you. But I got properly harassed, too. So.
Can I interrupt on that topic? I have in my phone here my little camera.
Carol was there taking pictures of us.
I have evidence that Frank, the hard work that Frank did, he was there in an apron. And did yeoman's work cleaning up after the rest
Carol,
of
that's
us.
A campaign
and
shot, Carol.
I'll distribute this picture and say after I have time to fix it up because it didn't come out all that light.
Thank you. Leslin.
Well, I clearly did not get the memo that sitting on a political body, I wasn't supposed to get political tonight. No, Frank, I'm not getting political, except it would be remiss if I did not say congratulations to our President-elect Barack Obama and Senator Joe Biden for Vice President of the United States. It certainly is a great day for many of us, not just for the African-American community or the community of color, but for everybody here. We certainly celebrated here in Ithaca. We enjoyed the moment, and we continue to feel how much possibilities there are for so many of us out there. And so we do want to say a great big thank you to everybody who worked for all of the campaigns. We were moved by the speech made by Senator McCain. It was very gracious, very humbling, and the kind of thing that we needed to hear and continue to hear from everybody trying to work for change in this country. So I do have to say that. And go Barack.
Mm. Thank you. Anyone else? Martha Roberts and then Carol?
Yeah, I think the turnout, not just of voters, was incredible. And Carol has some numbers to share, but the turnout of voters, the turnout of volunteers yes. of all stripes, and this is what democracy is supposed to be about. And it was just thrilling. I was in Ohio last week and working on a campaign. And, all sorts of people who I think don't usually pay any attention to politics, either had already voted or knew what they were going to be doing. So I think we should try to get New York to have early voting. That's something I'd like to see about. But I think that I whispered to Will after the pledge. Did we say One Nation a little louder tonight than usual? I don't know. It feels that way. And so I also want to just a nod to other races down ballot. A lot of candidates worked very, very hard, and our local state senate incumbents all won, and congratulations to them, and congratulations to the folks who ran against them and challenged. I think it's really vital for democracy to have people have to contest their seats. So I think that was real progress that we really had an energetic state senate campaign in our area. And local races, too. Hats off to some candidates in Dryden who did really well. But I, for one, with my grandson from Zambia, I'm very happy that he's going to grow up thinking that it's just not a big deal that somebody who looks like him is president. I'm really excited about that.
Thank you. Carol Chalk, then Dooley.
Yeah, I wanted to... regardless of how you feel about the outcome of the elections, I think that we owe a really great debt of acknowledgement to our Board of Elections for the incredible work that they did and do every year, but especially this year, to the commissioners, the staff, the election workers, the volunteers at the polls. It was a huge job, and I don't know if people know that volunteer, the people who come and work at the polls are required. You cannot do half a day. You must do from 5:30 in the morning until, you know, after 9 at night. So you're there for a 16-hour day. So for the, all of those people who volunteered to do that and worked in that capacity, a particular thanks. And then regardless of, you know, of what you wanted from the outcome, I think we do all agree that we want participation, that it isn't a valid outcome unless lots of people to participate. And I did have occasion to get some, these are preliminary figures from our Board of Elections. I do hope we can invite them maybe for the next meeting and acknowledge them here, or at least to send a report to us with the final figures. But just, I did want to report back that we locally, Tompkins County, we had a participation rate of 71% of our registered voters. We had almost 54,000 registered voters, 71% of them, plus absentee ballots that are not in that figure yet, for another 3,400 absentee ballots that came in. Nationally, the participation rate was about 62.5%, so we did very well. And I think we should be proud of ourselves. There was a figure that I thought didn't do us quite as proud, and it may be that this is just a certain percentage of people whose registrations turn out not to be valid or to be expected, but we did have a higher number of those that I was surprised to hear. There were about, as of 3:30 yesterday afternoon, there were about 800 or 900 of those people who came in and ended up having to fill out affidavits. The results of those are still being worked on, but to me, that's a slightly higher number than I would like to see in the future. And so, I mean, whatever procedures we've had in place have been good, but I'd like our GO committee, our Government Operations Committee, so between now and the next election, if something that we could work on is, you know, are there ways that we could get that number down? If there's a few dozen or a few hundred people who come to the polls, who bother to register, think they've registered and come out to the polls, we somehow should build into the system a way that if it's a few dozen, you could blame the people that, you know, there's something wrong on the form. But with hundreds, if not 1,000, there must be something systemic that we can do as government to make the process clearer, to give clearer instructions, to give better training to people registering voters. Whatever we can do in the future to get that up. So, but that was just sort of the cloud in the horizon of the incredible participation rate that we had here, and a great job by all. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Dooley.
Thanks. Yesterday and today may mark the end of the era of our Lever voting machines. I took my camera with me and took a picture just so I would have a memory. But I was concerned about the placement of the machine that was available for handicapped persons. There was absolutely no privacy that was available for anyone using that machine, and we've got to do better than that locally. The other thing that came to an end actually today was the era of Barbara Blanchard's appearing with Mark Finkelstein as our political commentators. Barbara Blanchard was on our legislature for a long time. She's the Democrat and Mark's a Republican, and I'm going to miss hearing their comments very much. I think we all will.
Anyone else wish to speak? Briefly, Carol?
Yeah, no, I just want to acknowledge that that voting machine that was turned the wrong way, or turned so that it was a little bit exposed, the Board of Elections did come in and fix that. Midway through the day, I think, after they received the complaint. So just want you to know that.
Good question, Frank.
Yeah, Carol, do you have any idea how many people used the new machines in your calculations?
No, that would be a good question to ask.
I thought perhaps you might. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak? If not, we'll move on. Kathy.
I want to speak on a related topic. I learned some things last night. I was euphoric. I was up like most people most of the night. As the night wore on and started looking at California returns, started thinking about Proposition 8, and recognized that the things that represented success and unity and progress that were demonstrated by the winning presidential candidate are something that we in the LGBT community have got to start demonstrating ourselves, reaching out to people from all walks of life, making sure that people understand the commonalities rather than the differences, and helping people to understand that freedom is a fundamental thing that everyone in this country is entitled to, including the freedom to marry. So it's a little sobering. I also want to say to members of my LGBT constituency that our loss in having Proposition 8 okayed and basically taking away from the California Constitution the right to marry for LGBT people should emphasize for us the celebration and the victory that the Obama campaign achieved and that our entire country achieved last night. Rather than grousing about and having sour grapes about a lost battle, what we need to do is learn from this and go forward. And so for myself, I'm saying upward and onward.
Thank you. Martha, very briefly.
Well, I think that's one thing that in New York we might be able to fix with the change in the Senate.
Thank you. If there's no further comments from legislators, we'll move on to report from municipal officials. Peter Stein from the town of Ithaca is here. Welcome, Peter.
Hi, welcome. I was thinking about what I was going to say, but after having heard you, I think I'll give my observations on the election. I wasn't going to say something, but there are two things that stand out in my mind. The first was last night when I was doing Irene Scutt work for her by running back and forth with various pieces of paper and cell phones. I walked by the Hilton, and I looked in there. I thought, what in the world is that? And there must have been 50 or 75 people sitting in there, a phone bank. And I realized what it must be, and I said, my God, in Ithaca? I could never have believed that one could assemble that many people to do political activity. So I think that's made me feel good. They may have been calling for McCain, I don't know. But the whole thing made me feel good to see those people sitting there on the telephone whiling away their hours working for the public good. And the second thing I wanted to talk about, which is a little bit more personal, those of you who know me must know that I have five grandchildren, and they range in years from 25 to 6. Not 26, but 25 to 06. And the reactions I had from my grandchildren, they come in two groups. Melanie's children, who are, one is in college and the other has graduated college, and both of them were voting for the first time. And they were just, I remember when I voted for the first time, and it was sort of dull. These kids were just the fact of voting in this particular time, and that's what they saw as this historic time, just gave them energy. And Melanie said they were just bouncing off the wall. And the other was from the other group, who range in age from 12 to 6. And they have been going with their father, my son David, who has got political politics in his genes. And he's been going, they live in Maryland, but he and his children have been going now for 2 months every Saturday to Virginia, canvassing door to door, and he has instilled in them this feeling of their participation. And the older one takes personal responsibility for Obama's victory in Virginia because they didn't talk. They just went and kept the records for David when he went and talked at the door. And one of them looked at Michael and said, "Hey, I like your T-shirt. I'm going to vote for Obama." And, oh, Michael figures he did it. He's the one that did that. So anyway, all of those things, I felt they were really different about this election. Really very strong feeling. So anyway, what was I going to say? I was going to tell you what we were doing in the town of Ithaca, and it's much the same thing as you what we were doing, but the issues that we've been talking about, I'll just list them. One is that the place where I live is what's called the Northeast area. That corner between Sapsucker Woods near the Northeast School has had for the past 30 years a problem with surface water drainage and soggy lawns and dead trees and things like that. And we have tried to make little piecemeal attempts to correct it unsuccessfully. And we've gone on a long project now of assessing exactly what the damage is, sending interns out in the summertime to look at which way the water flows. And we have determined that we are going to, we made a resolution that we're going to figure out how to solve that problem for the roughly 600 or 800 homes that are in that northeast area once and for all, without worrying about whose fault it was and who should have been cleaning out what culverts or making what kind of sewers or something like that. We're just going to fix the problem. Some of it interfaces with the county and having to do with the disposal of wastewater, and I hope we'll if we come to a solution that we want to pipe it, I hope we are able to work something out with you. We're bracing for the retirement of our Fred Notaboom, our wonderful highway superintendent. He's retiring, and we're looking at how we ought to organize that that operation to make it a better service organization. The other thing that I personally am working on, which is this report that was initiated by Kathy Valentino's chance comment about 2.5 years ago, isn't it time for the town and the city to become one municipality? And there's a group that's been working on that and have been chaired by Tom Niederkorn. And it's about to release its report sometime in the next month. We will have a joint meeting of the town board and the city council and Common Council, and release the report to them. And I won't say what it is we are recommending, but I think you'll find it interesting. I think it's one of the real political changes in the county, which would be very significant if we could come anywhere near accomplishing that.
Can you give us a hint, Peter?
What?
Can you give us a hint?
No. I haven't given my colleagues a hint yet, so I
can
don't
tell
think
Susanna.
I can say any more, except to tell you that it's coming.
Mary Tomlin.
I guess that's... Oh, and our budget. We're you've read about our budget in the newspaper. We have raised the tax levy by 17%, which I think you saw there. And that is quite a hike. But our base is small, as Herb says, but it's not minuscule, and that's a major hike. The rise in our expenditures is not that high. Our rise in the expenditures is a more modest 6%, and of course the difference is that the concern that there's bigger trouble coming down the pike, and that it made sense not to lower the tax rate at this point, and that 17% just comes from the 85% to 100% change in the valuation. So anyway, that's my report. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Peter. Kathy, then Frank, then Carol.
I just wanted to say that I read in a newspaper article something that I know Pam and others have worked really hard on, and if it's a rumor, maybe I should let Pam say something to it, but I was really gratified to see some inclusion for TCAN. I don't know the details.
Well, that certainly is in the superintendent, in the supervisor's budget, yes.
Frank?
Sure, hope it stays.
Peter, are there any discussions continuing with the health organization that wanted to put the long-term care facility in, the nursing home?
Which ones are we talking about?
The gentleman who originally they wanted to build a place.
Oh, to build it right near the park there?
Yeah. Is there any status report on it?
I haven't heard about that for some time. I think that the town was reluctant to have a large structure put there opposite the entrance to Enfield, to, what's it, is that right? What's it called?
Robert, that's treatment.
Treatment, sorry, to treatment park. But that we did find some possibility of land that could be developed on the west side of the lake up in the hospital area. And I know that the developer went up to look at that and thought it might be okay, and I have not heard anything from that in I don't know, 4 or 5 months now.
Okay. Not to put you on the spot, and certainly not to reveal anything that's confidential.
No.
But thank you.
Hang on. Frank? Carol?
Oh, actually, let Martha go first.
Martha?
Do you know about the Sunday library funding? I think the supervisor had it initially. Is that still
yes,
in the budget?
Yes, that's been put into the supervisor's budget.
I think that's
budget.
It.
So anyone else that wish to ask? Carol.
Yeah, Martha had started to ask before. Who's on the joint city-town committee? Or who's on the committee that's looking at the joint city-town?
Well, I better be careful and not leave anybody out. Tom Niedekorn is the chair. I represent the town board. Mary Tomlin represents city council. And then in addition to that, Lois Chaplin... who works at Cornell in Extension, I believe, Diane Bruns, who's a lawyer, Nathan Fawcett, who's a financial person at Cornell, Stu Stein, Lord, I hope I haven't left anyone out. And probably our most active member was Paul Eberts, who then went to Oregon. But it's as if he hasn't left home. He's still on the emailing list, and he's always the first to answer when there's a new draft coming out and so forth. So he's remained a very enthusiastic, and there seems to me there's another person on that. And
thank you, Peter. We can follow up if people need more names. Thank you again.
Okay.
Anyone else from municipality who wishes to report? Seeing Mike Lane here reminds me of our sacred trust of governing, and I too feel an extra honor and privilege being in this room with you all tonight and each of us in these seats. Our role has a special meaning tonight in terms of how many people voted yesterday and what responsibility is placed in our hands. So I'll remember that. It's our role to govern phrase from Mike Lane for a long time. We have no special topic. In terms of chair's report, I sent an email around, but I'll remind you verbally that we have negotiations starting with our corrections unit and our white-collar CSCA unit coming up late November, early December. If anyone is interested in being on those teams, please see me. I've had two people respond already. We also have some board seats on TCAT and the Downtown Ithaca Alliance, so if you're interested, please see me. We're beginning planning for a legislative department head meeting in early December. We were trying to have those in the past, aiming for quarterly. We have not had one actually since December of 07, but we're angling towards an early December meeting. And if there is time after our public hearing on the 10th, a week from next Monday, I may call for a meeting to meet with Joe regarding our conversation at the end of our last meeting regarding evaluation. So we'll see if there's time, depending on how much time the public takes up. That's the end of my report. I have no appointments. Move on to report from County Administrator Joe Mariana.
Thank you. In light of the fact there are no bagels, I'll be short for my initial presentation to the board. Just an update, first of all, on the status of the state budget. That certainly is the one thing that's been in the headlines the most. So I just wanted to bring you up to speed on where things are there. Two important dates will be coming up, one in the near future, one in December. On November 18th, the state legislature, will be called back. The governor has asked them to help him address a $2 billion deficit in this year's budget. And then the governor intends to release his budget for 2009-2010, a month early, now expected to be on December 16th. And the word that we're getting on that budget is that he'll be looking to close a gap of between $12.5 and $13.5 billion. So certainly has state has this work cut out for it. We're hearing And this is largely through the Association of Counties, and David Squires and Norm and I participated in a conference call on October 30th. We're hearing from NYSAC that that the state may respect the request of counties not to simply shift costs by cutting entitlement, mandated entitlement programs like temporary assistance and Medicaid. We're hoping that the word has gotten through to Albany that that is simply a cost shift. It's not a cut that will result in higher property taxes. So hopefully through emphasis of that message, I hope we all do that, there will be a hands-off policy toward those mandated programs. NYSAC is also trying to play a little offense on this budget to provide some ideas to the state about ways they can cut the budget without creating just a pure cost shift to counties. And I think you may have gotten a memo that I sent along from NYSAC to the governor that outlined some of those plans. With that memo, I've communicated to all the departments about the status of the budget, and I've advised them that it's going to take the collective intelligence of this entire government to help navigate through the situation. So I've asked them to participate very actively in the development of our response and very quick information on how we can address proposals that are coming out of Albany. I've also asked them to exercise restraint in their year-end spending. I think it's only common sense, and I think they've already internalized that. I don't think I had to say anything about the need to restrain spending at the end of this year. I think that's already out there, but we have emphasized that. Finally, we are going to try to set up meetings with our state legislators. The chairman and I will hope to meet with the state delegation, again, to let them know our concerns about cost shifting and giving the delegation some I think, important information about how potential cuts could affect county programs. So that's really where we spent much of our time in the last couple of weeks is coming to assess what is going on in Albany. With respect to my transition, so far so good. I've met with a lot of department heads, a lot of you. I've learned a lot. I have a better sense of the priorities of the organization now. I've noticed, I don't know if you have, that we've had an unusually good spell of weather since I've been appointed.
Go ahead, take credit.
Until I heard you talking earlier, I also assumed that all those happy faces I saw today were somehow attributed to my involvement here, but now I know that it's a different reason entirely. So that's my report.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Pam?
I read your memo, and I was a little concerned about the proposal that NYSAC has put out forward about eliminating the funding for CIMSE.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm sort of wondering how they made the decision to choose the things that they did, and whether we had any input before they made that decision, and whether it's still an opportunity for us to have input, because of course we have been taking advantage of that fund, trying to come up with a healthcare system plan for all of us. And it just seems like at this particular moment, when we really do need to share services, decrease costs, that this would be a short-sighted cut. So, I mean, anyway, yep. If you have any information, I'd appreciate it.
Both of those questions, kind of the core questions, are the right questions. Did we have any input? Not that I'm aware of. I think this occurred within the NYSAC organization, and I think their effort was to kind of point the governor and the legislature in areas that are somewhat within the control of counties, as opposed to the mandated entitlement programs. There are other items on this list that I think we would have a concern with. We've put this memo out to department heads in part to get their reaction. How do they think this would affect Tompkins County, so that we can give NYSAC and the state some feedback on those specifics.
Thank you.
Frank Pardo?
Joe, I'm glad you survived the weather. And thank you for doing your part. I just want to ask you about, I responded to the NYSAC memo also, and do you have any idea as to when the department heads, particularly the healthcare pieces, I think I sent four or five questions regarding different pieces of that. Do you have any idea when they might react to that memo?
I would think by the end of this week or early next week we'll have their feedback.
Will that be circulated to the appropriate committee chairs?
I can do that.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Martha?
I haven't had a chance to read your letter or the memo, but just looking through it, I see nothing under public safety. And I'm really disturbed to see that there's not a any statement about the Commission of Corrections pressure on counties to build massive jails they don't need. Maybe they figure they've baked those decisions already into the cake and the jails, most of the jails are already underway, but I think there still are several counties, well, that I know of, where decisions are kind of pending of whether to build, you know, double, triple-sized jail from what they have right now. So I don't know if, you know, maybe that's something that you know, I'd be willing to work on crafting some language on that. As far as Joe's first week and a half or whatever, I just want to thank you very much, Joe, for jumping in with both feet on the IDA project of the pilot for AES, payment in lieu of taxes for AES. This past week we had some heavy-duty calculations and really negotiations to really figure out the details of the payment schedule. And Joe just, you know, really absorbed this very complicated topic and came up with a solution. And it was really a pleasure to be able to just have that expertise. Thank you.
And Carol.
Yeah, I thank you, too. And as you go and meet with our state representatives, don't feel that you have to do that on your own. Where you need us, please let us know. We're a vocal group, and we'll be happy to be there.
Thank you. Martha.
Actually, I meant to say also about sometimes that kind of lobbying is more effective in Albany. So if we, you know, if it makes sense for a road trip, that does have more of an impact if we're willing to go there. And Mike, maybe you can run down the two social engagements we have this Thursday and Friday, then, just to let people
know. Yes, there is a community meet and greet for a welcome reception for Joe at the Tompkins County Public Library Thursday, tomorrow, from 4:30 to 6:30. It is open to the public. There are refreshments, and it's kind of billed as a stop by, get to know Joe and ask questions. It's not there's no program, so people are welcome to come and go. And then on Friday we have a retirement and thank you, kind of honoring Steve Witcher at the Holiday Inn, and that's also, I believe, 4:30 to 6:30. If there's no further questions for Joe, we'll move on to County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
Thanks. I wasn't going to make a report, but Carol said something I'd like to follow up on. And it wasn't that you're a vocal group. Carol had mentioned in her report that we have an unusual high number of people who show up to vote and find out they're not on the registration list and thus vote by affidavit ballot. And that's an issue which has kept the county attorney's office busy in election days for years. And I figure I'd just outline why I think that is or what happened, just for people to have some general idea of why it may be so high in this county. One thing is that we have a lot of petition drives in this county, given that it's a university town and a lot of agencies. And when students and other people sign up at these petition drives, they're relying on someone else to get them to the Board of Elections, and that doesn't always happen. So oftentimes you have students or other people who signed up with agencies or at the college for fraternities doing petition drives and things like that. They show up to vote and find that their applications didn't get it. So it's always good to check if you're going to sign up that way, because you're really relying on some middle person to get those applications to the Board of Elections, and sometimes it doesn't happen. The second thing is DMV and the motor voter law, which seems to create a lot of confusion. Many people think that they've registered with motor vehicle when they got their license, and it just doesn't happen, whether that's been a mistake by motor vehicle or the people or some misunderstanding, but that frequently happens. A third thing is when people move and they have to change their address, which happens more in a university town or more here than I think it does in a lot of other places. Moving tends to mess it up in a lot of different ways. When you send in your information that you move, they don't get it. People neglect to do that where they move. And sometimes people have moved and the Board of Elections doesn't know where they went, so they get canceled and then they show up. That happens. And then the third thing is simply things in the, or I guess the fourth thing, is the mail. People think they mail something, it doesn't get there, or it doesn't get there in time because people are confused about the mailing dates and when it has to be mailed and when it has to get there. So those four or five things tend to lead to pretty high rates of people not being registered here when they think they are and showing up at the polls and realizing their name isn't on the list.
Thank you.
Just some thoughts on it.
Thank you for that overview. David Squires, Finance Director.
I wanted to report that the former county administrator's last day was October 27th, and that day he testified as in front of an arbitration panel on the sheriff's contract, and Steve and myself both testified, and so that process is moving along. It was interesting. Quite a number of people in attendance from the sheriff's department were. And I also want to report that there was a public hearing today at the airport. The county is making application to increase the passenger facility charge from $3 to $4.50. And today the process started with a public hearing. There were no one attended. The airlines were all notified, but the process works. You have the public hearing. The application then has to be filed within 30 days. The FAA has 30 days after that to rule on the application. And so we are comfortable in thinking that perhaps by March the 1st that the increased charge could go into effect. And finally, I wanted to alert you about an impressive publication that will be coming out in the next, probably in, not this weekend, but the following weekend, where 800 tax parcels will be identified in the newspaper for not having paid taxes during 2008. And your joint takes up a whole page of in the advertised, in the classifieds. Quite impressive looking because it's 800 different names. This is not unusual, but it represents all any parcel that didn't pay a tax during 2008, which could be the school tax, village tax, or county tax. Also during the month of October and November, there's publications for those properties that are subject to foreclosure. That publication is not nearly as intensive because it's generally about 150 parcels. So that's what that is about. That's an annual process according to the real property tax law.
Thank you, David. Questions, Pam?
Yes, David, the tax that you were talking about, is this a tax on passengers or is this
the passenger
a tax
facility
on the
charge is a surcharge on a ticket. It's based upon, I don't think it could be as the stops. So you depart in Ithaca, you get charged $3.
Right.
And if you go through Philadelphia, you might be charged another $3. It's added by the airlines.
So it's the passenger that pays the fee,
yes.
The airline.
Yes.
Martha?
The 800 parcels, is that an unusual number?
No, that's about average. There's 33,000 parcels. Generally, around 1,500 are delinquent at any one time. We collected $300,000 on last Friday, people coming in to avoid having their name published.
Okay. I know you always whittle that down. Okay.
Yeah.
Leslin, then Will.
David, I know you're only the messenger, but can somebody explain to me why the public hearing was held at the airport and if this is usual, what will happen, that it's held at the airport on the passenger surcharge increase?
It's typically held at an airport because the most interested parties are the airlines, because they're the ones that have to the charge is based upon an application of improvements at the facility, so the airlines are very interested in what that plan is for the improvements.
Right, but the surcharge is added to the ticket price that the passengers pay.
Correct.
Okay. Is there a schedule for another
public hearing,
no.
Or this is the only one?
No, the public hearing starts, you have the public hearing, and then you make the application.
Right. I know we
during the public hearing, generally the airlines make a comment whether they agree that the improvements that are supported by the charge are agreeable to them.
Will Burbank?
Well, I was sympathetic and picking up on what Leslin was saying, because it does seem that the people that are most affected, which are the public, A, probably didn't know what was happening, and B, getting to the airport is less than convenient. Martha whispered over to me that we actually voted on that, so we may have been collectively remiss in not catching that at the time.
I don't know.
But be that as it may, is there any option to move that in the future if we have such a thing, or does it by law have to be at that site? Or do we know?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. And secondly, back to your earlier point, you mentioned that the number of postings for non-payment was not unusual. I'm curious about the number of postings for foreclosure. Have we noted or do we anticipate any increase locally for those numbers or the remaining?
Generally, this year, it's up about 15%, though there are the value of it is about the same, and typically the process has about 300 different individual tax parcels. Though this year we have, while we started with 300, there is several property owners that have multiple parcels, so it sort of inflates the number. The value of the unpaid taxes are the largest single unpaid tax item is an agricultural property that has $80,000 worth of outstanding taxes. That $80,000 represents probably about a third of the total class of unpaid taxes for that. And the highest residential value was $20,000.
Kathy, then Leslin.
Thank you. David, I just wanted to ask, can you often provide this for at least members of GO, but could we have a list of the properties so that we can?
Yeah, we typically send out the list because the final day to pay for in people in foreclosure is January the 7th, and that typically it'll get down to under 100 before that date, because it's people who understand the process know that date. And they make every effort to get in before that date, because there's expensive penalties that occur if you don't make that date.
So
we're trying to manage it a little bit so you wouldn't get the whole, because right now.
But so we could get it far enough ahead of the date so that if we see some folks we know on there, we could have an opportunity
sure.
to talk to them. That would be great.
Okay.
With time, I've come to recognize some of the names. Mm-hmm. So.
And Leslin.
What Kathy asked, and then just as a point of clarification, not to belabor this, but I do remember us voting to allow the airport to make application for the increase and the surcharge, but I don't remember a vote on having a public hearing at the airport.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. I'm going to be asking for an executive session at the end of our meeting, briefly, for labor negotiations. Carol?
I had another point for Jonathan. Is it permissible?
Sure.
To the chair? I just, thinking about the points that you made about the reasons for the problems with the registrations, I think it would be really helpful. It's exactly the kind of information that I was suggesting might inform a process to figure out how to make it clearer, but either instructions to the public and or instructions to volunteers. It would be really helpful to have either from you or from the Board of Elections or from each of you. Sort of a report later, after this is over, the immediacy is over, about these kinds of things and how many of each might be helpful.
Thank you. Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Jim Dennis.
Resolution C was in your packet, correcting omission and determination and findings following the conclusion of a public hearing concerning a proposed taking by eminent domain in the town of Enfield.
Is there a second to add it?
I would move that.
Greg seconds. All in favor?
Sorry.
Are there any opposed? It's added unanimously. Thank you very much. Move on to the consent agenda. These are items, resolutions that are expected not to be controversial. You can pass a single vote. Human Services Committee, Resolution A, this is budget adjustments, Cayuga Addiction Recovery Services, mental health. And budget adjustment, this is Resolution B, Lakeview Mental Health Services, mental health. No appointments under the consent. Ready to vote? All in favor? And are there any opposed? This was passed unanimously. Thank you very much. Move on to committee reports. I guess we'll move. Jim, why don't you actually move that resolution first? We'll get that out of the way, and we'll move on to the regular order.
All right.
What's that?
Was the consent agenda moved and seconded? Would you like it to be?
Yes, I would. I'm sorry I overlooked that.
I'd be happy to move it.
Thank you for moving it duly and seconded by Frank. And we already voted. Thank you for rushed through. Jim Dennis.
I would move Resolution C. Do I need to read it again? Correct?
No, nope, I just read it.
It's been moved and seconded.
Is there a second? Greg Stevenson. Is there discussion? I'm ready to vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much, Jim. And back at the top of our agenda, Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Leslie McBean, Claire Bourne, Chair.
No reports.
No report.
Since our last meeting.
Thank you. Human Resources Committee, Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Michael. We will have a meeting tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock from 3 to 4:30. One of the major topics is the performance review for the four directs, and Paula will be there, and I'm hoping that everyone has had an opportunity to look at all the information that was emailed to you or gotten to you in some other way so that we can have a discussion and move somewhere with it. And I also have $20 if anybody wants to go out and get the bagels.
Hopefully we'll be ending within a few minutes.
And may I just make one comment about the IA that was held, the InterStarb that was held. David, Steve Witcher testified. Yes, there were many employees there of the Road Patrol, and it was my understanding from the commissioner that all those people were there on their own time. And I asked that question, and I believe it. The answer was they were all there in their own time. And I spent the day there also, an interesting a little session.
Thank you.
And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Jim. That's
Government Operations Committee, Michael Hattery, Chair.
We haven't met since our last meeting of the legislature. I don't have a report.
Thank you. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you. We haven't met since the last legislature meeting. And our next meeting is November 13th at 3 o'clock.
Thank you. Budget and Capital Committee, Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
We have not met. We'll be meeting next Monday. A big thing on the agenda is we'll be looking at a capital program request from TC3 about two projects. Then that discussion will happen around 4:30 for anybody who's interested in taking part in it. And that's all.
Thank you very much. We do have a public hearing on our tentative budget next Monday in these chambers. Public Safety Committee, Greg Stevenson, Chair.
We haven't met since the last legislative meeting. We'll meet again November 21st at 2 p.m.
Thank you, Greg. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean, Claire Bourne, Chair.
WDAC met on the 22nd, and we spent a greater part of our time reviewing diversity education video that was done by the Skilled Trades Diversity Consortium and getting ideas for some of the work that we can do internally for educating our own employees on issues around diversity and inclusion.
Thank you. If there's no questions, we'll move on. Kathy.
Was that a really nice video?
They were really well-done videos.
Yes.
Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Health and Human Services Committee has met four times since the last meeting. I brought the minutes of every meeting, so I can't accommodate your wish. Yeah. We had a meeting earlier this afternoon, and I would like to give you a brief report on some of the items that came up. The Health Department has a new grant application, and for $235,000, that is for the Community Partnership for Tobacco Control. In the past, we've buddied up with Cortland County, pardon me, and this year we're going, there was a five-year grant. This year we're applying on our own, and Ted Shealy was very eloquent about what we can expect. He's not sure when we might get approval, but is hopeful that it'll be in place by the spring. I've asked Ted to put a copy of the results of the last five-year program on file with the board office here, if any of you would like to review it. He did get into some descriptive parts of it, and I think part of what their charge is, and what we learned this afternoon, was that the state is very interested in having one of these programs in each county in the state. Part of their charge is to create smoke-free areas, and they feel that they've achieved part of that already. They want a commitment from each county, so you can expect more of this. And the amount that we had received when we were with Cortland was about $85,000. This is considerably more. It does involve some personnel, but if they get everything that they would like to have, the personnel will be covered by the grant. We'll keep you posted. Lisa Holmes from Office for the Aging gave us a set of program updates. She also reminded us that they also have a grant application in for home health aides for training, so that we can do the training here in Tompkins and not have to send everyone to Broome or one of the surrounding counties. This will help our home health aides get credentialed and perhaps even help them get a raise in pay when they need it. This is one of the items that I mentioned to Joe about reviewing with regard to the NYSAC memo. Please take some time and read that NYSAC memo. There are quite a few items related to health, and sadly, we want to make sure that we don't emasculate some of the programs that we've worked so hard to get going. Lisa also mentioned some of the evaluation for the registry program. They did a client satisfaction survey, and I know that all of us are going to, not all of us are 40 years old, some of us are 41, but the charge is that we're all going to be taking advantage of the registry program at some point, and she was very descriptive in that presentation. It's very interesting to see how the spread has come out, and I think you'd enjoy reading that report. If you need a copy of it, Karen has a copy in the office. Ken Schlatter came from Cooperative Extension to give us an update on the energy services program. Cooperative Extension is coming out with a list of ways to conserve energy, and they've come up with a DVD, which is quite interesting. Karen actually suggested that this particular DVD be put on during our executive session breaks, when you have a blank screen that says we'll be back in 10 minutes or something along those lines. And I thought that was, you know, a very good idea, because the list of items, and according to Ken, there's an interactive house on there too. Carol Chalk enjoyed playing with that when he gave us a chance to do it. But some of the items that are listed there are common sense things. We did get into a little bit of a discussion about how far down you can turn your heat before it's not effective, and I got an education on that one. The site that the public will be able to access, and it will start officially on Monday, is Energy Services in the Home through Cornell Cooperative Extension. It's CCEXT Energy, if anyone has an interest, if you'd like to access that on your own. It was quite interesting. Patricia Carey gave us some good news about the HEAP money. Apparently, the feds are increasing, because they've changed the eligibility criteria, they've permitted us to apply for more money, and we will be getting more. Hopefully, that'll kick up. We're not quite sure how that's going to play out countywide, but Patricia was quite happy. It's a little bit of a bright spot on the horizon. And also announced that she has an application in, and we need to probably present this. We probably need to present this in resolution form. We received a grant from the feds for safe havens. It's to prevent violence against women, and it's a planning grant. It's $150,000 for each of 2 years, and that you'll see a resolution on. We have to come back. She's going to a conference in Virginia to actually understand how we can utilize the funds the next time around, because the funding is up, and this was another one of those. In spite of the budget problems that everybody seems to be having, this is something that we were quite pleased to know that we'd received. Our next meeting is December 3rd. We did have an appointment, but I think that'll come up, the mental health appointment, I think that'll come up at the next meeting. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to try to field them. Was that good enough, Pam?
Thank you for those.
It was great.
Brief highlights.
Oh, excuse me. A correction on the cooperative extension site. It's ccext.net/energy. ccext.net/energy.
Is that your home page, Frank?
Leslin, did you have a comment?
I did. I have a really quick comment. Frank mentioned grants, and it just reminded me that I wanted to ask all of you colleagues who have access or have things coming across your way, that in order for us to do some of the work on WDIC, especially around the video work, that we will need a whole lot of money, and I know there's some grant opportunities out there, so if you know of any, please send them my way. Not like I need to take on more work, but please do. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. There's no further questions for Frank. Who'd like to move the minutes of the previous meeting, October 21st? Jim Dennis moves them. Greg seconds. Any corrections? Are ready to vote? All in favor? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. We have no unfinished business. Who'd like to move to go into executive session for matters of labor negotiations? Jim Dennis moves it. Pam seconds. We do not expect to come out of executive session taking any action. All in favor?
We're never coming out.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Take 5-minute break so you can go into executive session. I can assure Joe this is not the typical length of our meetings.